Matthew chapter 13. Boy, it's good to be in church tonight. Amen. Should always be good to go to church. Amen. Amen. And thank the Lord for his blessings. God's always good. God has a wonderful, wonderful plan for us all. He's been good to all of us. Amen. Matthew chapter, let's see here. Where am I at? Matthew 13. That's where we're at tonight. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to begin reading with verse number 18 tonight. Verse 18 out of Matthew chapter number 13 in God's Word tonight. Notice what the Bible says. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word of God, heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Notice that. They choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth. Some in hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Let's pray tonight. God, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the privilege to open the Bible, preach the word of God tonight. Give us your power, Lord. Give us your presence tonight. Meet with us in a blessed way. Thank you for the service this morning. And Lord, all that you did, and bless tonight, we pray. Help us, we ask, seek your word and seek your will tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Matthew here describes the effects of the seed. And I want to speak to you tonight on that thought, the effects of the seed. Now, we know that the seed, according to the Bible, is the Word of God. We know that the seed of God, when it takes root, the seed of God has a great power. But I want to speak to you tonight on how the seed wants to get rooted, but how the seed often does not get rooted in people's lives. I want to say to you tonight that if you're here tonight, you're saved, and you're faithful to church, you're serving the Lord as best you know how, you're living faithful to the Lord. Can I tell you, somehow, somewhere along the line, somebody had an important part in your life. That person had was a seed-bearing person. They were a person that brought seed into your life. And not only that, that seed did not or maybe could not have a chance in your life. But thank God the seed of the Word of God did have a chance in your life. And somehow, some way, that seed grew. It got watered, it grew. And the seed of the Word of God produce good fruit in our lives. And that is God's purpose for every Christian. I don't know if you know this tonight, but God's purpose isn't for every Christian just to be sinners. God's purpose in every life is for us to bear fruit. Bear fruit for God. That's God's purpose for us. Without that, we don't have a purpose in life. Bearing fruit is the purpose that God has given us. And so when that happens, notice we see verse 23, but he that receives seed under the good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it, which also beareth fruit. Notice that. It beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. Now, the point of that verse is to teach us that the seed, when it takes root, it actually is productive. That is exactly what God wants us to be. Now, let me say tonight, there were ingredients in the fact that you grew. There were ingredients in the fact that you accept the word of the Lord. There could have been at any juncture of your early stage of Christianity something that caused that seed not to grow. And I want to tell you something tonight. If you're here tonight, you're saved, that seed's grown. I want to say, first of all, tonight, that seed that grew in your heart tonight came because, number one, the Word of God was given to you. The Word of God was given to you. Now, hold with me. We're going somewhere. The Word of God was given to you. Not only that, you grew in the Lord. You came to church and you kept coming back. And you kept coming back, and no matter how many times they tried to get rid of you, you just kept coming back. That's ingredient to grow. That's what God's ingredient is. And because of that, that stalk or seed took root and it grew until the place that it produced fruit. That's the place that God wants us to be. We're supposed to be fruit-bearing Christians. We're supposed to bring forth, multiply ourselves. We're supposed to reproduce ourselves in the lives of other people. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, Scripture talks about this seed. It goes into different places. And I want you to notice some of the dangers that the seed has. And the seed has here, verse number 19. Notice, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. Here's the first reason the seed doesn't always take root, is because there is no spiritual understanding. He understandeth it not. Now, can I tell you, some don't really understand the Bible. The Bible is a book that is trying to reach into the heart of man. And sometimes some do not have that understanding. Sometimes that heart is blocked off. You know why you got saved? You know why you're in church tonight? Because that one day you allowed God's seed to take root in your heart and in your life. That's why. Now, if you had never done that, that seed, if you had never tried to understand, and you know, some people try to understand God with the human mind. The human mind cannot understand the word. It has to be spirit born. You know, I believe when we're soul winning, number one, you ought to pray, God, lead me where you want me to go. God, lead me where you want me to go. God, fill me with your power. God, fill me with your spirit. Help that person behind that door to understand. We need to pray for understanding. Our world we live in, there's very little understanding. And we need that because the devil uses lack of understanding. Number two. Then cometh the wicked one. Now, here's the second reason, is the devil, the Bible says, catcheth away that which was sown in the heart. Can I tell you, Satan comes along oftentimes very quickly and steals the word out of their heart. You know, I've led people, Lord, that I believe genuinely got saved. And boy, you never see them again. Now, that's frustrating, isn't it? Because I think the people that have gotten saved with this church, if they would have stayed, you know, this church would be back full, wouldn't it? I think every church that's preaching the gospel would be like that. But the devil knows that fruit will come from that Christian, so he has to come and snatch the word away. Now, here's what I'm trying to say to you tonight. Don't let the devil take the word out of your heart. Don't allow Satan to have the word taken out of your heart and your life. Don't allow Satan to come in. The Bible calls him the wicked one. The Bible says he's evil. He walks about like a roaring lion. Don't let the devil get in your heart. Hey, somebody says something to you that's a little bit unkind. Watch out. Watch out. The devil's trying to steal something out of your heart. Amen. Somebody comes along and doesn't know anything about the Bible. Can I tell you? The old devil wants to come along and snatch the word out of their heart. And I tell you what, I know there's been some, we've had a lot of
just young Christians or those that are really unsaved coming and hearing the Word of God. And you know what? It is so easy for the devil to just take the Word away. And may I say tonight, pray that the devil will stay away. Pray that the devil will not get in and infect the hearts of people. You know what? Years ago, I heard about a pastor's wife who grew up on a bus, or on a bus route. She came out on a bus route. She didn't grow up on a bus. She grew up on a bus route. Amen. That'd be a rough way to go. Amen. I get the back seat. That's my bedroom. Amen. Okay. So, but she grew up on a bus route, but her family was a transient family and they moved a lot. And so when they moved, this was a large church that had many bus routes. When that young lady moved, that bus captain was very careful to say, to go to the other bus captain and say, here is a card. This girl was on my route and moved. Go pick her up. When that happened, that young lady started riding the bus on a different route. Guess what? It happened a third time. The bus captain took that card and carefully gave it to the next bus captain. Said, she moved to your route. Go pick her up. They picked her up. She kept coming to church. What's very interesting about that story is that that young lady, that happened as her parents and family moved around 18 times. 18 times. And that young lady became a pastor's wife. Amen. You know what? They took care to see to it that the devil, the wicked one, could not get in that road. And the seed of the Word of God was powerful when it was planted in that girl's life, and great care. Can I tell you, one thing that keeps the devil away is great care. Great care to keep Satan away, to care about that person. You ever taken a visit and made a phone call on a Tuesday night or Thursday afternoon? Said, hey, just want to let you know I'm praying for you. Loved to see you at church on Sunday. Hope you come back and hear that crazy preacher again. That does a lot of good. You know, care keeps the devil away. Care. I think we ought to care. Care is a heart picture of Jesus. He cares. He cares. And I tell you what, the more care we can put in somebody's life, the better. The more care, what does it do? Keeps that wicked one away. You know, what if when that seed got planted, the old devil was coming in, but yet somebody cared about that seed, kept it watered, the old devil couldn't get in there, and allowed that fruit to spring up. The care of that fruit that's produced is so important. And I say to you, even next week, when we have people come, and Lord willing, we'll fill this place up. Lord willing, we'll have more bounce houses, and Lord willing, we'll have more volunteers for the dunk tank. Amen. But as we do, hear me, don't forget something. Take care in people. Take care in people. People matter. People make a difference. The old devil comes oftentimes because care is eliminated. And I say to you tonight, don't let the wicked one do that. Number three, notice verse 19. This was the seed which he had received seed. This was he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Now, he's talking about someone else who actually receives the word. Now, notice where this word, this seed grows. It grows in stony places. Can I tell you what your trials are? Your trials are protectors to keep you growing. When a seed is thrown, it lands in between two stones. You think, nothing ever going to come of that. But have you ever stopped to think that it keeps the birds away when that seed is down there?
that allows the water to come. And little by little, it allows that seed to grow. It allows that seed to germinate and grow. It's because, not because it's out of the stony place, but because it's actually in the stony place. And can I tell you, sometimes our greatest fruit in our life comes when we are in stony places in life. The stony places. I don't like stony places. But you know what trials are all about? Trials are about God allowing stony places in our life to mold us and make us a better Christian. Stony places. Stony places. You know, don't ever wonder. Some of the greatest fruit comes from some of the stoniest places, the roughest places. Some of the toughest people in life are the people who receive the word and grow in life. It's a wonderful thing to see. Do not ever reject when you're in a stony place in life. It may just be the protective place by which you can grow better in God and become strong. Stones. You say your trials? Paul got to the place where he welcomed trials in his life. He said, I take joy in infirmities. I glory in my infirmities. Who wants to glory in their infirmities? That's not a realistic thing. Hey, it is when a Christian realizes that stony place ain't really a bad place to grow seed and grow food. God can use that stony place. Don't reject the stony places that God puts in your life. Realize God uses them to help you grow. Number three, look at verse 21. Bible says here, yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while when tribulation or persecution ariseth. You know, a little bit of dirt thrown on us, on somebody, can be just the very thing that causes somebody to turn away from God. Just the very thing. Tribulation in life. Trouble comes. Trials come. That old devil will try to put any kind of trouble or tribulation in you. And when tribulation comes, when you're on your way to church, amen, and the tire goes flat, amen, and the kids are back there in the back seat fighting, amen, you know, you say, what do I do about that? Just bring a yardstick, amen, as you're driving to church. Just beat them on the head with that yardstick, amen. And sometimes, listen, the devil uses anything. And you know what a Christian ought to do when trouble or trial comes? Just recognize it is the devil. That is the devil trying to steal your seed away. He is trying to take your fruit and pull it away. Satan is a master of giving tribulation to Christians. Hey, God gives us and allows tribulation into our life for the purpose of making us better and stronger. Are you a better Christian because of tribulation? Does tribulation make you bitter? Does tribulation take you and make you a person who loses their grace and loses the patience of God in their life? Does tribulation do that? Tribulation, a lot of Christians cave when tribulation comes. Something they say, I can't handle this. Isn't it funny how they say, I can't handle it, and God, the one who can help them handle it, is the one they run away from? It's all the devil's trick. When you go through tribulation, the kids get sick, the dog dies, that might be a blessing. The kids get sick, the dog dies, the car breaks down, and the lawnmower at the same time. When there's more month at the end of the money, God uses those things. God uses them. And instead of eschewing them and getting rid of them, we ought to thank God that he's allowed us to have some tribulation in life. God allows tribulation to make us stronger. Anyone who's been through a tribulation time and has come through that has always come through stronger. Always come through stronger. Are you stronger? Or are you weaker? Do those things in life irritate you so bad that whatever comes along in life, you can't handle it? I believe we ought to be tougher Christians than that. And I believe we ought to say, God, here's tribulation. When tribulation comes, just laugh because you know it's Satan. Amen? And God will guide you through that tribulation. But let the seed keep growing in your life. Don't quit growing. Don't quit growing. Notice here, number five, persecution. Persecution arises. You know, I hear the stories from time to time of a Christian who's in the workplace. And in the workplace, somebody treats them horrible. And somebody criticizes them. And boy, they just pick at them and pick at them. And every day, going to that workplace, seeing that face, that person who just picks and irritates. That can be very trying. Very trying for a Christian. There is persecution, and there's different forms of persecution. But when the devil sends persecution into your life, also remember this, God uses persecution for good. He uses persecution. Now, I know we don't face persecution like they did back in the real days of persecution. But we do have different forms of persecution today. So God is trying to tell us, remind us, that the point is to stay in there and just keep on growing in the midst of persecution when that old devil comes to you. Number 6, verse 22. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and the cares of this world. Oh, the cares of this world. In other words, the things going on in your life become the things that you devote your attention to. You know, I've noticed this. I know somebody is called to be a preacher. Called to be a preacher. But yet there's other things going on in his life that have diverted his attention away from the call of God. Other things have twisted and diverted it away. And can I tell you this? Don't fall in love with this old world. Don't allow the cares of this world to get a hold of you. The cares of this world will fade and flee. The cares of this life. You know, we have these lives where lives are full of stress. Lives are full of things that go on. I was talking to a man in our church this past week who had a bad week last week. Had a bad week last week. You know, as a Christian, we're going to have bad weeks. We're going to have bad times. We're going to have negative circumstances. The cares of this life are going to affect us and weigh us down. Sometimes you get too busy for your schedule, and sometimes the stress gets overloading. And you know the devil can take the cares of this life and wash your fruit away. Amen? And sometimes we put ourselves in those traps where the cares of the world control us. I got to have that new thing, that new stuff. I got to have all this stuff. And all this stuff that I got to have in my life is taking away my attention. And because I got more stuff, I got to miss church on Sunday night, Wednesday night, because I got to get another job to pay for my stuff. Hey, it's a trap. It's a trap of the old devil. And the devil is seeking to always take the cares of this life and change it. I think of Allie back there and Titus. Guess what, folks? Their life is fixing to change. Amen? It won't be the cares of this world. It'll be the cares of the nursery. Amen. Those cares are going to rise up. And you know what? Before long, they're going to need three arms. Amen. By the way, if evolution were true, you know, they say giraffes' necks grew because they're long, and men used to have tails because we have tailbone. And but hey, I think it'd be great to have a tail, don't you? Man, you got two bags of groceries, you swing out around there, grab that doorknob with your tail, open that door, woo, away we go. I could get a lot more done with a tail, amen? That'd be a blessing, but I ain't got one of those, so. But you know what? Cares of this life, they're gonna affect you. Your schedule is going to affect you. But remember, God wants you to bear fruit through it. Bear fruit through it. Everything you do, be a light to this old world. Keep on bearing fruit, even when the cares of the world are going to weigh you down. Sometimes you're going to get heart-heavy news. And sometimes your heart is going to be weighed way down and burdened. It happens to all of us. And you know, the old devil can use those heart-heavy times to make our minds a different kind of mindset other than serving God. And you know what? Don't let the cares of this life just weigh you down and cause you to crumble under pressures that attack us week in, week out. You know, there's a church like ours, and most soul winning churches are, you go to work Sunday morning, Sunday night, or you go to work Monday through Friday. Some of you go soul win on Saturday, and church on Sunday, and it starts all over Monday again. And you think, is there ever time to catch a breath? You're faithful, you're serving, you're working hard, doing your best. Boy, the old devil says, you know what? You need to quit that or stop doing that. You know what? I want to tell you something. I think sometimes when you get overloaded in life, it's a good thing to take a little break and catch your breath. I don't think God is against that. But I'll tell you this much. The old devil can say, take that little break. Take another little break. Take that break. Before long, everything you're doing for the Lord is broken and your fruit is not growing. You know, the devil, he can attack us in increments. Did you catch that? He can attack us in increments, bite-sized pieces at a time. He can come to you, take a little bite out of your life, and then take another little bite, and take another little bite. And it's the same as if he took one great big bite. He can attack in increments. Increments is the devil's way. If he can't get you affected in one way, he'll start nibbling in another way and chewing you up. And you know what I think? A Christian just ought to be aware of it. Realize, oh, yeah, devil. Preacher warned me about that one on that night we preached. He preached that message. Yeah, preacher reminded me of that. Hey, I want to tell you something. The devil's going to attack us through the cares of this life. Have things ever broken down and a bill hit you you could not pay? You go into worry. You change this, change that. You say, I got to get another job making $75 an hour to pay for all these bills. They're not out there. I got news for you, right? What do I do, Lord? What do I do? You know, the cares of this world are opportunities to take to go to God and see God do things in your life. They are not opportunities, though. Some Christians have the cares of their life weight them down to the point at which they're not serving the Lord much at all. And the cares of this life can affect us. So Christian, be careful about the cares of this life. The things going on in everyday life, business, filling up the gas tank, tired working and doing everything and feeling exhausted in life. Having times when you just get so weary, you don't know what to do. If you've never been there, hey, go to Bible college and you'll feel that. Amen, I promise. By the way, that reminds me, we ought to pray for those kids in Bible college because they face those cares of life very greatly. The cares of life. Do the cares of life weigh you down? Do they weigh you down to the point where oftentimes you think, I got to quit this for the Lord. I got to change this that I'm doing for the Lord. I got to reroute my plan of things for the Lord. And I want to say, we got to be careful about that. Don't allow the cares of this life. Next, notice the deceit, verse 22, the deceitfulness of riches. Oh, man, some people think that money is going to solve their problem. Do you notice the word deceitfulness? Money can be deceitful. Amen. By the way, God's got all the money in the world. We just got to learn to go to Him when we need it. Amen. I'll never forget time in my life. I needed $900. You ever have those times when, and it wasn't that I needed $900. It was that I needed $900. You know what I mean? You know, it's not like going to your wife and saying, hey, I need 50 bucks. I know you don't have it in your purse, but I still need 50 bucks. Amen? But I needed $900. And I'd been praying for 2 weeks because I knew something was coming up in 2 weeks. Oh, I was praying. I was praying. And I knew on that Monday it came due. Back at that time, this was years ago, Brother Watson was our treasurer at that time. He came to me. I didn't tell anybody. He came to me after the service on a Sunday night. And he said, hey, Pastor, somebody left something in the offering plate for you. I looked at him. I said, was it $900? Remember that? Was it $900? He said, how'd you know? I said, because I've been praying for $900. God met that need on a Sunday night before Monday. Well, glory. Amen. I just want you to know I'm in need of $10,000 right now. And just want to let y'all know that. Amen. But anyhow, we need a new church building also, by the way. Just thought I'd pray about, have you pray about that, mention that. But, you know, the cares, the deceitfulness of riches. Sometimes a person thinks if we just have enough money, you know what our tendency is? We spend more when we have more. And our life doesn't really change. And it's amazing. Really, sometimes you can live on less and pray and watch God bring it in. When I first came to Moore, first came to church here, Brother Chris was Chris Schwartz was our, any of you know Brother Chris? You know Brother Chris? Brother Chris Schwartz was our treasurer. Of course, they moved to Ohio. By the way, I think he's coming here in a month or two, going to visit our church, come back. Anyhow, I'll never forget, Brother Chris Schwartz, when I got here in Moore, I didn't ask my salary. I didn't ask how much money I'd be making. I said, Brother Chris, I came to church first week, gave me a paycheck. You know what my paycheck for a month was? $800. $800. Man, you can't buy soda pop today for $800. You know what? We had 7 kids. We had the parsonage. Of course, the needs were met over there. But we had to provide gas. And that time we were driving to school every day across town. It cost me $650 a month in gas to get back there. I worked in college and taught and made some money there too, a little bit of money there. And I remember this. We didn't have hardly anything that time. But I'm telling you, for 3 years, the Lord just took care of every need. I mean, I couldn't believe it. The Lord just provided here and there. He provided here and there. You know, if we just learn to go to God, He will provide. He'll provide those needs. And you know, I believe that God tries to make us praying Christians rather than changing our priorities as Christians. I think that God tries to take our priorities and make sure we keep them even when the pressures of those finances are there and they come. And boy, they're coming. Amen? Biden will make sure that they are coming. And they do. So I'm saying to you tonight, deceitfulness of riches. Don't allow riches to take away your seed. You know, to be honest with you, God never said anything that was wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with money. You know, there were some wealthy people in the Bible. Abraham was wealthy. Solomon was wealthy. There's a lot of people in Scripture that were wealthy, but they didn't allow the priority of the wealth to steal their fruitfulness from God. And the deceitfulness of riches never was able to attach to their heart. Huh. Hey, the deceitfulness of riches do not need to attach to us when we see God do things in our life. When we're willing to pray some things down. One of the hardest things when we send our kids off to Bible college and they need this or they need that, and we didn't have it to supply some of their needs. And they'd call and say, "Hey, Dad, I need shoes." And I'd say, "Okay, there's a, you know where the Goodwill store is? Amen. Look at the barrel out back of all the shoes they throw away. There's a free pair back there somewhere. Help yourself." Y'all aren't laughing. That was a joke. Amen. Jordan laughed. Thank you, Jordan. I appreciate that. But no, we told him, "Why don't you pray for it? Pray it down. Pray it down." When you learn to pray it down, it has a way of taking your priorities and making sure you keep it on God. But when our mindset gets to this place where the deceitfulness of riches takes this place in our mind, and don't get me wrong, we all have to be able to live, and we all have to be able to live. But the problem that many Christians face is the priorities of our life get out of whack because the pressures of our life change us and push us in different directions. I want to tell you something. Just keep on serving God. Don't let anything take your fruit away from God. Just keep on soul winning and keep praying. Keep putting those tracks out there. Keep letting people know there is a God in heaven. Keep doing it. God will bless it. Is there fruit in your life? Let's see God continue to put fruit in our life. What a blessing. We've recently seen several folks come in and come be part of the church and come in on Sunday morning. Man, I tell you what, we had several here this Sunday morning, just young converts, hungry people. I had a man in back. I preached this message, you know, and God put on my heart to just aim it at 40, 50, 60-year-old people. And to just put that aim there. And I had no idea. And dear man sat in back this morning, and he got, after church, he came and saw me. He said, "You know what? I'm not 40, 50, 60, but I'm 72. And he said, "You know what? I've been out of church for a while. I've been away from God, but I'm coming back. I'm coming back." Hey, listen, I want to tell you something. It's a joy when that fruit, and you know, I'll tell you what, that man came because somebody went across the street, won some people to the Lord in that house. And in that house, they said, "Go across the street, meet my other relative of some kind over there." Went over there. They didn't come forever. But then that family got led to the Lord, moved away, and they called over. And this guy called and started coming to our church. And what a blessing. What a blessing it is to see those things. You know how it happens? It happens by just keeping on seeking fruit. Keeping on seeking fruit. What I love about soul winning is you very rarely win the one you're after. But because you're faithful, God will bless you with someone that does come. And that's fruit that abounds to your account. You know, I want to say this week is a special week in our church. It's an opportunity to really ask God to let fruit abound. To see the lives of young people, adults come to church and hear the word of God. Can I tell you, it's a great opportunity. Let's be praying for fruit this week. Let's be praying for fruit. Don't let anything steal your fruit away. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes tonight.